I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Does your hiring kit include social media? My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have just a couple of housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to help raise the hiring bar and assist companies in a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid getting stuck in shallow waters so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you'll want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. I want to introduce to you a special guest, a very close friend, Barry Deutsch. Barry is a well-known thought leader in hiring and peak performance management. He's a frequently sought-after speaker for management meetings, trade associations, CEO forums such as Vistas International, formerly known as TEC, and it's a worldwide CEO membership organization which has over 15,000 CEOs and senior executives. Many of the clients view Barry as a virtual talent officer, chief talent officer, I should say. And I look at Barry as kind of like the Rambo of hiring. He just gets right into it. Barry has been named by Vistas as the Impact Speaker of the Year. He's frequently asked to present Impact Hiring Solutions, which is an award-winning program on hiring, retention, how to motivate top talent to join an organization. Barry has been doing search for over 30 years for a broad range of organizations, ranging from multi-billion dollar Fortune 100 companies, entrepreneurial firms, mid-market high-growth businesses. He works closely with thousands of CEOs and key executives to help improve the hiring success, leverage human capital to raise the hiring bar on talent acquisition. Barry earned his BA and MA from American University in Washington, D.C., and prior to executive search activity, Barry held positions of responsibility in finance and general management with Mattel, Beatrice Foods, and Westinghouse Cable. I feel privileged to have Barry as part of our program today. I want to welcome a number of associations that are joining us also. So, Barry, welcome.
Well, like Rambo, let's just jump right into it. Dana, how do I advance the slides, or do you advance them?
I can do that.
Okay, so let me give a little overview here to start this process.
Okay.
So in the last 6 months, in the presentations that I've been giving to my clients, and I do probably 4 to 6 of these a month to groups of senior executives and CEOs, one of the recurring themes that has come up in every single one of those sessions is we can't find enough good people to even apply better rigor around hiring. We're seeing the best of the worst, or as one of my clients the other day called it, we're seeing the cream of the crap. We're not getting good people coming to the table. And I'm going to contend that the traditional methodology of finding people for most companies is taking a job description, posting it as an ad, and then waiting to see who falls into your lap. And in the last 6 months, as the job market has started to come back, particularly in the small business, entrepreneurial, middle market-sized companies, this has become practically a worthless endeavor of trying to find people through this. Okay, sometimes you get lucky and you find a decent candidate, but the reality is hope and luck is not a good company strategy for filling key roles. And it doesn't seem to matter. You know, whether you're hiring people at a janitorial service level or you're hiring senior executives, it's still difficult to find great people. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is how do we find better people? We'll cover some of the basics of things you got to do before you can even start using social media. And then we'll talk about how social media is playing a role in being able to get to the people you want to hire and get beyond just job board advertising where you're letting a job description masquerade as an ad. Remember, it's not an ad, it's a job description. And it's masquerading. And the thing you got to remember about it is it's disgusting, revolting, and a complete turnoff to top talent when they see job descriptions as ads. The only people you tend to pull when you run those are people who desperately need a paycheck. So the question is, how do we get better people to the table? People that are compelled and excited and turned on about the kind of work we have. So, Dane, if you could advance to the next slide. Here's some of the things we're going to cover. We're going to talk about how do you broadcast your job, how do you get it out to the widest possible audience beyond just advertising, how do you publish and push content to different pools of talent, whether you're hiring field technicians, you're hiring design engineers for OEM subcomponent manufacturing, or you're hiring sales professionals. How do you target specific candidates? And then once you get those candidates, they may not be ready to move right now. How do you continue to nurture and engage and stay in touch with them so that when you do have an opportunity or they're open to leaving, now you can start to match that up? And that's a dramatically different approach than the traditional process of let's run an ad and see who falls into our lap right now, and then if that doesn't work, or even if it does work, 3 months later when we do it all over again, let's go through the whole process once more. So that kind of sets our agenda. Dana, if you could flip to the next slide. All right. Before we jump into the specific tactics of how to do this, let's just talk for a moment because this sets the baseline or the foundation. What really motivates top talent? So the number one thing that motivates top talent, great performers, and I'm going to define that precisely. I'm going to say top talent to me is someone who is in the top quartile of performance for whatever job class you're looking for. They're a top quartile sales rep in a wiring and cable subcomponent manufacturing for the medical device industry. They're a top quartile performer for an inventory control analyst in a $30 million sized manufacturer of, whatever. They're a top quartile performer on operations warehouse distribution management for a food service company selling fresh produce. Top quartile. Now, you might say, oh, Barry, we don't really want top quartile. We want top 1% or 2% or, you know, a top 5% player. The problem with hiring people way out on the margin of the bell-shaped curve is that it's really tough to do. You typically have to spend a lot of money with executive recruiters because those folks aren't looking at ads. They're not raising their hand. The cycle process to get them to leave their current company can extend anywhere from 6 months to a year, and you're going to pay out the nose to attract those candidates. I'm going to contend the sweet spot for most companies in recruiting is hiring top quartile performers. And over the years, there's been a lot of studies that have shown there's a tremendous gap in performance and impact between top quartile performers and people who are in the middle of the bell-shaped curve. I mean, many of you on the call might have groups of people doing similar kind of work in accounting, the warehouse, on the production line, customer service, sales. When you think through the impact that your better people have versus your average, mediocre, minimally qualified folks, I'm going to contend that you'll probably see, and most studies confirm it, that the gap is 4 to 10 times in terms of impact and productivity. Okay, so let's assume we're going after top quartile performers. The number one thing that motivates those folks is opportunity. And we can define opportunity in three ways. Number one, what is it that I'm going to learn in this job? What is it that I'm going to have an impact with in my team, department, function, group? And then what will I become for having been in that role for a period of time? This is simply a variation on what Abraham Maslow talked about back in the 1940s and 50s when he published his theory or his model of what employees, hierarchy of needs. And today, no one really has come up with a better model to define what do employees need in their job. You'll recall, if you've ever taken a management class, that Maslow's name would be a, you know, a household name to you. And you'll recall that what he used was this pyramid to convey his model. And he talked about how people check off all that basic stuff, you know, shelter, housing, security, food, all those things. And he said all top talent, all great people, get to the top of that pyramid, that capstone, and he called that self-actualization. What am I going to learn? How am I going to be challenged? Am I going to enjoy what I'm doing? Am I going to be stimulated by it? We've taken that capstone of the pyramid and created a variation of that, and we call it the LIB curve, Learning, Impact, and Becoming.
That's clever.
When people tend to move, they tend to put their foot out the door, they tend to start looking for a job, the things they look for in other roles. Again, top talent, not average and mediocre people. One of the things they want is learning, impact, and becoming. And let's assume for a minute I'm working for Dana, and I want to be on an upward curve through that chart, okay, a hockey stick effect. I don't know exactly what the shape of the curve is, but it's going up. Let's say I'm working for Dana for 6 months, and the curve flattens out, and then it falls off, right off the edge. When that inflection point hits, where that curve begins to flatten out, where I don't feel I'm learning anything new, just seems like the same thing day in and day out, I'm not having any substantial impact, and I've been with Dana for 6 months now, and I don't think I'm becoming anything better in terms of my skill set or capabilities, I'm going to put my foot out the door and start to seek greener pastures. So here's the question I got for everybody. What percentage of your workforce do you believe in a given month attempts to go online and seek greener pastures? Some of you are probably, the hairs are going up on the back of your neck. Oh, and here's an even better question. When are they doing this? Because the job boards show their peak demand does not occur late at night, early in the morning, or on the weekend. It's smack dab in the middle of the employer workday. The most commonly visited sites by employees are not social media and shopping sites. It's job boards. So the average for most companies is 50%. In a given month, let's just pick April, 50% of your workforce is going to go on to LinkedIn, Career Builder, Craigslist, Ladders, you know, any of the major job boards, and try to see if the grass is greener somewhere else. Why are they doing this? They're doing it because they're bored out of their mind. In human resource circles today, the hot buzzword is employee engagement. People are not stimulated, turned on, excited, and content about what they're doing in their job. Not that long ago, the Conference Board published a report that said employee satisfaction had reached depression-era levels, that less than 25% of all employees were satisfied with their work. That's pretty depressing. You layer that against the increasing job market that's starting to come back, and the word that gets spelled out is turnover. I've been doing executive search for almost 30 years. This is my fifth or sixth recession that we've been through. And after every single recession, there's a wave of turnover occurs because of the pent-up demand, you know, no jobs for people to go to during the job recession, and then suddenly jobs appear. The question is, are you being able to capture some of those folks that are now coming onto the market and open to better opportunities? So now that we understand what motivates top talent, let's shift to the mode of what can we do about it. So Dana, if you could advance to the next slide. Dana, you there?
Yep, it's on there.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's just talk for a quick minute about where candidates typically come from and where the sweet spot for recruiting them is. Number one pool of candidates is the aggressive candidate. This is the one that's going to apply to whatever you post. You could just post the job title and they're going to apply to it. Many candidates in this job market that have been long-term unemployed, 6 months, a year, 18 months, have stopped being selective about what they're replying to, and they're basically using a keyword strategy of shotgunning their resume, like spraying pellets everywhere, on every single job that even has one keyword. This is where many of you may have discovered you run an ad online, you get 300 responses, and 298 of which you can't figure out what keyword did that person click on to even apply. So that's one group. And typically, they're desperate, they need a paycheck, they've been out of work a long time, they're dysfunctional, toxic, poor performers. Sometimes you get lucky and you find a diamond in the rough. But I'd say as a strategy for finding good candidates, it's not particularly effective. The second group is the selective candidate. This is the one that's a better performer. They're open to leaving their current company because they feel their opportunity has declined. And they're selective about what they're looking at. So if I'm a controller in the Los Angeles area and I'm looking for controller roles, and there are 32 of those jobs available, I may actually only apply to two or three. I'm extremely selective about what I'll raise my hand for, and the job opportunity has to be extremely compelling for me to consider leaving my current company, because I don't really have to leave. I'm a good performer. I don't need your job, but I am open to a better opportunity. To me, that's the sweet spot of recruiting for most companies, is going after that group that's open to a better opportunity, and they're talking to their friends, they're looking at job boards, but they're selective, and in a more compelling manner, we can get those folks to put their hand up in the air. The third group is what we call the non-candidate. This is the group that had no intention of ever taking your job from the moment they entered the process. They're using your job to kick tires, to test what they are worth in the market, to compare you against an internal offer, or to get a raise, or against another job. We want to exclude those. We could spend 3 hours on that subject alone, but we want to quickly get to the foundation level of why someone's looking and exclude these folks early in the hiring process. If we don't, we end up with the runaway bride syndrome, where we get up to the altar, we make the offer, and they reject it. My contention in recruiting is, once you make the offer, it should be anticlimactic. You should already know they're going to accept your offer. The fourth group is what we call the sleeper candidate. This is the person who's not looking aggressively. They're open to a better opportunity, but they're not going onto the job boards. They're not talking to their friends. They're not communicating they're seeking a new opportunity. They got their head down. This is where you might have to turn to a recruiter like Maw to surgically extract that person from their current opportunity. The problem with that approach is it's prohibitively expensive, and it takes a long time. So I cycle back to the sweet spot for most companies in recruiting is going after the selective candidates. Let's talk about how we get to those folks. Dana, if you could move to the next slide. Okay, first step is to create a compelling marketing statement. Before, I talked about what most companies do when they post ads is they take the entire job description or a cut-and-pasted, you know, variation of it, and they post it. And for most top-caliber candidates or top-quartile candidates, it's disgusting, it's a turnoff, it's revolting. Top-caliber candidates couldn't give a darn what you want as an employer. They just don't care that you want, I want two of this and three of that and four of this. When they see that, they take their hand and they pull it down, and you never even get to see those folks. So a better approach is what we call a compelling marketing statement, and it has four key components. This is where you're putting your marketing hat on. This is where you're pulling your copywriting hat on. Okay? This is not an administrative, clerical, compliant, regulatory document. It's an ad. We're trying to get people compelled to put their hand up in the air. Step one is a compelling and outrageous headline that's like taking a brick and smacking people right between the eye. Put your pencil down. There's something very special here. Instead of calling the job human resource manager, maybe we should call it chief talent officer or chief selection officer. Instead of calling the front desk receptionist receptionist, maybe we should put in the top of our ad, we should use a headline of director of first impressions. Or maybe we should call it chief greeter. This is probably one of the most important elements. When are people looking at ads? They're doing it at the office, right? On your watch, when they're multitasking, they're looking at emails, they're returning phone calls, they're looking at their spreadsheet. We want to shock them into putting that pencil down and saying, hey, there's something very special here. You should read further. That's the only purpose with the headline, to read further, to compel them to get into the details. I like to use topical information. Current movie, pop culture, current events, radio shows, anything that's on the forefront of someone's mind. Here's a good example. During the last Olympics, I had a client in Chicago looking to hire a sales manager. So they played on that idea that it was during the Olympics. So candidate goes on to CareerBuilder.com, and they're going down the list. Director of National Accounts, Senior Manager of Sales, Olympic Sales Coach. What the heck? Click. Again, the only purpose is to drive them into your compelling content. first thing they should see. Number two, first thing they should see is a challenging question. What is the one question that gets at the emotional gut level of why would they leave their current job and come to work for you in this job? So, for example, if you were trying to hire a controller, or CFO, or director of finance, and you might want someone that's more than your green eye shade accountant, you might, you know, someone who's going to do more than debits and credits, you want someone who's going to be operationally oriented. Planning, budgeting, forecasting, strategic planning, special project analysis, customer profitability studies. Your question might go something like, tired of being relegated to nothing more than a back office function? Now, financial professionals who want to be more business oriented would go, oh, that's what I've been waiting for all this time. Okay, so what is that one challenge question? Number three, what's the vision for your organization? Most of the studies that have been done in the post-baby boomer generations, I'm talking too fast, show that one of the most important things to them, this is the Xers, the Ys, the millennials, the Nexters, I probably left two or three of them out. One of the most important things to them is what's the vision of that organization? So if I was to open up the line and cycle one by one through everybody on the call, would everyone be able to describe in two or three pithy sentences what's the vision for your organization in two or three years? Would all your managers be able to articulate that? Is it hanging in your lobby? Is it on the back of your business cards? That's the unifying message by which people get excited and compelled to want to be part of your organization. And then number four, and perhaps most importantly, we want to take the success factors, the outcomes, the deliverables, the goals, the objectives of the role, and embed those right into the compelling marketing statement. Now, that's one of the most important things of the hiring process. It's beyond the scope of our call today because we could spend an hour just on how do you define success factors for a job. But let me throw out just a few examples. You'll help us launch three new proprietary products based on our unique RF design over the next year. You'll help set up our flagship operation in the northwest section of the city that will become a model to other retailers in this particular area. You'll launch our e-commerce business and take us from $500,000 to $2 million a year over the next 18 months. You'll help us reduce our closing process by 50% and institute a new set of dashboard metrics that allow the management team to make better decisions. What are they going to get to do? What kind of impact are they going to have? What's the time frame of doing those? That's the very first thing top talent gravitate to.
Gary, a question just came in. When focusing on a compelling marketing statement towards different generations, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's every top talent person, it's age independent, whether you're 65 years old or you're 25 years old, are compelled by opportunity, challenge, learning, becoming, having an impact. And we found that to be true whether you're recruiting people at a very low level in your organization, like someone on your customer service rep team, or you're recruiting senior level executives. Dane, if you could flip to the next slide. Okay, so let's talk about some of the best practices in sourcing top talent. Best practice number one, employee referrals. Your goal should be 50%. 50% of all the people you attempt to recruit should be at the 50% level in terms of sourcing. The average for most companies is 15 to 20%. Why do you think it doesn't get higher? Because most companies don't ask for referrals. Most companies, the process is passive. Let's post the job description with a push pen on the cork board by the bulletin room or the break room, and then hope whoever walks by thinks of their friends who need a job. Have you ever had a recruiter call you and say, who do you know? Your first thought is, who do I know that needs that job? Imagine doing it a little bit differently in the future. Imagine taking an email message and attaching your compelling marketing statement to it and sending it to the 10 people on that team. All of your employees, your customers, your vendors, your suppliers, perhaps saying something like, attaches a compelling statement of work for a role we're currently recruiting for. Would you mind passing this along to your friends, associates, former business acquaintances, neighbors, people you think that might be compelled by this opportunity and able to deliver the results we've defined? The 10 you give it to, give it to 10. They know who give it to 10. They know who give. In 2 weeks, it's down in the hands of 1,000 people. And what you've just done is leverage the natural networks that your employees, customers, vendors, and suppliers have without randomly picking average and mediocre people off of ads. Step two, advertising. Now, even though I'm not real big on advertising and the results are pretty poor, I still think you should do it because it's so darn cheap. I mean, you know, a Monster ad, Craigslist ad, an ad on LinkedIn, they're fairly inexpensive. But here's the key. Instead of posting the job description, which is a worthless document for recruiting, post the compelling marketing statement. Leave it up for 2 weeks. If you haven't pulled the right group of candidates in 2 weeks, rip it down and completely rewrite it. Because whatever you wrote wasn't compelling enough. And I urge you to at least go through one rewrite of it. Don't assume the candidates aren't out there after 2 weeks if you don't pull a good enough group. Assume that whatever you wrote wasn't compelling enough. Step three.
Oh,
yes.
Somebody just wrote a question. What are the top five places to place an ad? Like you mentioned Monster, Craigslist. What are some of the other top ones?
I'm going to get into those.
Okay.
And if I don't answer it, come back to me at the end when we're in the Q&A section.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Last piece, 1 degree of separation. Y'all familiar with, you know, we're all connected to six levels through Kevin Bacon. You can reach anybody on the planet through six connections. That's just stupid. If I had to go through six people to get a referral to fill a job, I'd be dead before the job got filled. I believe in 1 degree of separation. So if Susan is the person we want to recruit, I want to think about where are all the places that Susan hangs out with people just like her. What alumni groups is she in? Where does she get her continuing education from? What forums does she participate in online? What lunch meetings does she go to in her association? Where are all the places she hangs out with people who are just like her? Then I'm going to reach into each of those groups that we've identified, both online and offline. I'm going to touch Susan. I know that was politically incorrect to say that. I'm going to touch Susan. She's not the person who's going to get the job, but through 1 degree of separation, she's going to lead me directly to that individual. There's two techniques of doing this. One is offline, and one is online. So let me give you a quick offline piece, and then that'll help reinforce the piece that we're going to talk about for the rest of our session together in terms of using social media and online tactics and strategies to get through this. Okay. Offline. So I have a client. They're one of the country's largest syndicators of Christian music broadcasting and conservative talk radio. They have small towns. They have small radio stations, little itty-bitty radio stations in small towns all over the country. For the longest time, the most difficult hire they had to make was for a radio ad sales rep. This is someone who goes down Main Street USA in these small towns, knocking on retail doors, would you like to buy an ad this month? Nobody wanted this job. They all felt it was too restrictive of a programming format. So about a decade ago, brainstorming with my client, and I said, let's think about this for a minute. Where in these small towns do people affiliate? How do they come together? Church. That's the ones that where they congregate in these small towns and share your vision and mission. At that point, my client stopped running ads. They started taking a physical compelling marketing statement, a push pen, sticking it up on the bulletin boards at all the local churches every time they had an opening. Over 10 years, they got a phenomenal response of great salespeople. Never once did they ever hire a radio ad sales rep. But they put a good training program in place to teach those folks how to sell radio ads, and every single person they hired was perfectly aligned and meshed with their values and mission. Here's the key. They went to where their candidate pool is. One of my hobbies is photography, so I read a lot of photography blogs. A few years back, I'm reading a photography blog. This woman had posted a little blog post that said, if you want to shoot big game animal, you got to go to where the animals are, you know, like on safari to Africa. You can't sit in front of a TV set or go to the zoo. At first I thought that's the most trite, stupid thing I've ever read, and then 30 seconds later I realized that's brilliant. Because that's the opposite of what most companies do when they recruit. They run an ad, and they wait for people to fall in their lap. If you really want to go after the very best, you got to go to where they're hanging out. You got to go to where they're associating with each other. Otherwise, you're going to continue to get average, mediocre, minimally qualified folks, toxic, dysfunctional retreads and rejects that come in through your ads. And you're going to base your recruiting strategy on hope and luck. You want to get the best? You got to go to where the best are. Okay. Let's talk a little about the tactics for actually doing that, and I'm going to step through some of the things that you can do here online. And again, your strategy should be both online and offline. The point I'll make before Dana goes to the next slide is, if you do those three things, employee referrals, got a great program, you get 50% of your people that way, you're running compelling ads, compelling marketing statements as ads, and you're using one degree of separation as your primary technique, you'll fill the vast majority of your jobs in 3 to 4 weeks. And you want to do all of these things on a concurrent basis. Dana, take us to the next slide, please. Okay. A little bit of infrastructure that you want to set up. Number one, you want to have a good applicant website. These are easy things to set up. You can do it through a blog template. You, in 24 hours, you could have a decent applicant piece to your website set up. And it's simplistic, and you don't have to even go through your IT department to do it. Okay? Most companies, if they do it, they list the jobs they have available, and people can click on that and then send an email into human resources to apply for the job. That's a turnoff to most top-caliber candidates. They want to see video. They want to hear audio. They want to read stories about why people enjoy being in your company. And so if you're going to recruit online, you got to have a piece that conveys to people online, why come here? Why do you want to be part of our company? What's our mission? What's our values? What do our employees think about our organization? What do our vendors, suppliers, and customers think about us? Okay. Number two, you want to register your company account on all the major social media sites if you haven't done this yet. You want to reserve your company name before it's too late. You want to get a company account for LinkedIn. You want to get a company account for Twitter, Facebook, a Facebook business page. You want to have something on Google+. You want to have something on YouTube as the primary sites. You're going to eventually be using those channels. Right now, you want to lock them in. It's free to do, and if you don't have the company name reserved, now would be the time to jump and do it. Number three, you're going to start to get a flow of candidates that you want to communicate with in the future. You got to have some kind of applicant tracking system. Whether you're using an online model like Bullhorn, or you're using a Salesforce, a SaaS model, you know, software as a service, or you got some kind of internal PC-based system, even a spreadsheet. But you want to be able to track people that are applying, that are sending their email addresses in, so that in the future you can communicate with them. Over the years, probably a quarter of all my placements in my executive search practice come from referrals of candidates I've engaged with on previous searches. Okay? And they broadcast it out to their friends and buddies. And sometimes they weren't a fit for the role, whatever that was, 6 months ago, now they're a fit. So you want to be able to track this and manage it. You want to probably have some kind of email broadcasting service, because when you start blowing out thousands of email messages and broadcasting your opportunity to all the candidates from the past, you don't want to be doing this off your own domain, because that's how you get blacklisted and get into problems with the various ISPs and internet service providers. You probably want to have some tool like iContact or Constant Contact where you're storing that information, and then you can be emailing out. And you can segment people by different classes, geography, roles. You want to get all your employees involved. You want to train them how to use their social media accounts, whether that's their contacts on LinkedIn, their contacts on Facebook, their Twitter account, to connect with and engage with people they know in these jobs from previous companies. You want to turn your entire business into a recruiting machine. The most viable mechanism is not so much doing this from one person or from human resources, it's getting everybody involved in the process to reach back to people they know. And that's how you get that number in employee referrals up into the 50% range. And literally, some companies I work with are up in the 80 to 90% range. And then finally, maybe most importantly, you want to name a czar. Or a czarina. You want someone to be in charge of social recruiting. Someone that can take the leadership role, lay out objectives, coordinate training. Otherwise, it just kind of falls through the cracks. And each individual manager or executive kind of does whatever they're familiar with or comfortable with. If you really want to be great at this, you got to create it as a company-wide initiative.
Barry, Dana, a question just came in. Summarize this. If they get somebody that claims to be a social media expert, which a lot of people claim to be that, but this is very specialized, do you provide or have any kind of hiring kits or training tools or do training for individuals so they can become the social recruiting czar?
Yes. We do a lot of work with companies teaching them how to implement social recruiting methodologies and actually use many of these techniques also for sales, lead generation, and marketing.
Okay.
So part of the reason that most companies aren't particularly effective at this is there's just a lack of training. Folks don't know what to do. And it's not like you missed the bus. The real leverage in being able to use a lot of these social recruiting tools have only become in vogue in the last 6 to 18 months. But not using them is really putting you at a disadvantage to your competitors if you're not finding people through using some of these strategies and tools.
Are some of the ideas included in any of your books?
No, actually, Brad and I are writing a brand new book. We're writing revision number 2 of our hiring book that we published 5 or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and it will have some significant chapters on how to do social recruiting.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
If you could take us to the next slide.
Ready?
Okay. Two different methods of going after people online. First is high volume, low touch, broadcasting. Okay? So when you this, Dana, comes at the question you raised before. So when you're running an ad, you want to put it on a generic job board, you know, Craigslist, Career Builder, LinkedIn, and then you also want to find a specialty job board. And there's almost a specialty job board for every known classification in the world. You're hiring human resource professionals, you'll put it on the SHRM site. You're hiring people in production management, you might put it on the American Production Inventory Control site, APICS. You're hiring people out of logistics and supply chain, you might put it on the I think it's called the Association or the American Logistics Society, ALS. There's just about a job board for, especially job board for every single category you can think of. Number 2, you want to get it into the LinkedIn discussion groups that are appropriate. And this could be the greatest panacea for recruiting because on LinkedIn, people self-identify in the groups that they're functionally associated with or in the industries they're in. You could take your ad on LinkedIn and flow it into those groups. And even if you're not paying for an ad on LinkedIn, you could post for free in the job discussion area tab of most of the groups on LinkedIn. The vast majority will allow you to enroll in their groups and don't require prior experience or knowledge in those functional areas. So, for example, I do a lot of work in the food service space for executive management and senior managers. So I belong to the 2 or 3 major food service groups on LinkedIn, and I can guarantee it with those thousands of people that are in those groups, I don't have to look any further. You want to leverage your employee networks on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as I described before, by giving them a link to the ad you posted and having them send it out or blast it out or broadcast it to their networking connections. You want to make sure it's linked to your company pages on Facebook, if you have a company page on Twitter, on LinkedIn, so that people start to see this. You want to get your employees to post it to their status update feeds on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so every few days it's cycling. Probably 10% of the candidates that I identify on my searches come to me through simply candidates seeing on Twitter every 3 or 4 days, my job opportunity, and those folks raise their hand and come forward. So part of attracting candidates is an effective broadcasting strategy, which is saying if you're looking for an opportunity, if you're on the job boards, if you're online, if you're in social media, you're going to see our opportunity. Okay, so that's one technique. Dana, if you could flip us to the next slide, please. You also want to look at what we'll call talent pools. So are there specific pools of talent in industry associations, forums, discussion groups? Are there specific groups and pages on LinkedIn or Facebook? LinkedIn we talked about. Facebook groups, Google Plus groups. I think Google calls theirs communities. And as I said before, and I'll reiterate, is sending an email blast out to segmented candidate pools. If the last time you ran a search for a salesperson, you got 1,000 responses over time, we want to blast our new opportunity out, now that it's a year later, to that same group of people. So they can distribute it to their friends and their associates. Dana, take us to the next slide, please. Okay. The other strategy is what we'll call high touch but low volume, where we're targeting specific candidates for opportunities. We're targeting competitor firms. We're doing searches on LinkedIn through the advanced search function. We're sending specific messages to identified and sourced candidates through our applicant tracking system. And you got to remember, almost like the historical Burma Shave commercials, sometimes it takes 7 or 8 messages before someone's willing to raise their hand. You send a message to them on LinkedIn. Then you send one to their email address. Maybe you pick up the phone and you call them. You send another message on LinkedIn. It takes a number of messages going after passive candidates before they'll raise their hand. Most companies, most recruiters send one message and forget it. They don't bother to go any further. And some of the very best candidates, you have to continually, like that Burma Shave commercial, every 2 or 3 days, re-engage, re-approach, till finally they're like, oh my God, I got to get Barry off my back. Let me think about who I might know. And then obviously in every message, you're always asking for referrals. Who do you know? Would you mind passing this along to others? You're always including a request for referrals. My experience in executive search over 30 years is that if I've done 1,000 assignments, I'd say 99.9% of the people who got the job was not the first person contacted. It was always through a second to third level referral. And one of the ways social media really allows you to leverage your recruiting is to get referrals, because people will pass that message along to others. I'll give you a good example of this. Just the other day, I'm doing a search for a client of mine here in Southern California, e-commerce director for a client. A woman calls me up and she says, I saw your compelling marketing statement. A friend of mine got a note about it from a friend of hers. I'm very interested. She's the finalist candidate on the search. Okay, so that's the power of leveraging referrals through many of these social networking, social media tools.
Wow.
Dana, take us to the next slide, please. So kind of as we're coming to the end of our presentation here, to think about, number one, broadcast your job. Get it out to the widest possible audience. Make sure it's not just, you're not just running an ad on one job board. You're putting it into groups, affiliations, associations. You're putting it in front of so many different people that if there's a viable candidate out there, a good top talent person, they're looking online, they're going to hear about your opportunity. We want to make sure we're covering every one of those places. Number two, we want to publish and push the content about the job in multiple messages to various talent pools, associations, groups, discussion groups, forums, people who are, you know, they self-identify and affiliate around technical engineering roles, IT positions, sales roles, customer service. We want to make sure that we're communicating and being visible with that group in those talent pools. If those steps don't work, then we want to start looking at going after specific candidates. And LinkedIn provides, for example, a great tool to do that. Not so much on Facebook yet, although I think that's eventually where they're going to end up going because the revenue stream there is so high. But right now it's very hard to target specific people on Facebook just because so few people fill out enough information about their job and what they've done. But LinkedIn is the perfect environment for doing that. And literally within 24 to 48 hours, you can identify 80 to 90% of the candidates you want to be talking to for an open position, at least at a professional level. And then finally, once you get these people and you connect to them, is the key, you need to engage, you need to nurture, you need to be at least communicating with them once a month to stay in touch and top-of-mind presence. That's where taking their email address, putting it into a mailer system like iContact or Constant Contact, maybe setting up tag groups on LinkedIn so you can communicate with broadcast emails through LinkedIn. But you want to continue to nurture those relationships, because those thousands of people that you engage with on various openings, they become your future ambassadors. They become the people in the future who are going to pass your message about an open role onto their friends and buddies in the companies that they've worked with. And again, that's how you move the referral process up from 15 or 20% well into the 80 to 90% range.
Gary, somebody said a question regarding LinkedIn. Is there a specific type of, they have different categories for purchasing, different levels within it. For HR recruiting, is there a package that can be purchased from them to hone in on job titles or types of industry?
There is, but I personally think it's a waste of money. LinkedIn wants something like $500 to $700 a month for a recruiting package.
Wow.
Now, I think if you were an enterprise-level organization, you've got multiple seats, you want to give people the opportunity to use that and to recruit from, then probably that might be effective. But if you're doing this on an individual level, paying $19.95 a month for a professional version on LinkedIn, because it gives you some tools and some advanced capability, is probably more than enough to be effective at recruiting on the LinkedIn platform. I personally, because I do, you know, 8 to 10 jobs at once, I've constantly got a large flow of candidates, I pay $100 a month because it gives me some additional tools. But there's a big jump between the $100 level, which I think is the max level for an individual, and then leaping to their recruiter solutions, which are at the $500 to $700 a month level.
Thank you.
Dana, move us to the next slide. I think that starts to bring us towards the summary part of our program.
Mm-hmm. Social recruiting.
I'm sorry, go back one slide.
Okay. There we go.
Okay, so we talked about that. Now, I'm sorry, advance one more.
Forward?
Yep, forward. Perfect. So
okay.
The here's the problem with social recruiting is it doesn't do any good to go out and sign up for an account. You have to be active. You have to be blogging. You have to be tweeting. You have to be posting stuff to your Facebook business page where you've got a careers page. You got to be active on LinkedIn. You got to see people. People need to keep your company, your opportunities top of mind. You're constantly refreshing it. It's just a useless activity to have an account and then sit back passively and watch. If you really want to use social recruiting, you got to be out there. You got to be engaging. If you belong to different groups on LinkedIn, you got to be answering people's questions. You got to be posing questions. You got to be responding to others. That's the whole basis of social media and social networking. Okay, if it's just going to be passive, I'd urge you don't even bother to move forward. The second piece is you got to get your whole workforce involved. Your workforce comes from other companies in your industry, other segments, tangential industries, and all of your employees know other people who would be great for open roles in your company. If you don't involve them, that this becomes a centralized human resource activity, it's just too darn difficult. Okay? The real leverage comes from getting everyone involved with their social networks. It's almost, you know, like ripples in a pond, extending those waves outward, and they're your ambassadors or recruiters on the street. And then you want to constantly be publishing employee stories of success, you know, parading your employees up in front of your networks, what things they're doing in the local community from a nonprofit perspective, successes they're having in your company, the awards they've won. Everybody wants to see you're recognizing your employees. You're patting them on the back. You're encouraging them. People enjoy being part of your company. And that's probably where one of the greatest pieces of social media comes in, is it's telling these stories so that potential future candidates look at that and say, I'd like to own that story. I'd like that to be written about me someday. Dana, last slide, I believe. So we want to really make this a whole process. We want to develop a SFS, which is a success factor snapshot that supplants the traditional job description and talks about successes, outcomes, deliverables, metrics, achievement. We want to convert that into a compelling marketing statement, which, as you'll recall, has those four key components. We want to broadcast the job to the widest possible audience, both in advertising and then getting it in front of the different groups, places where people self-affiliate, self-identify. We want to publish and push content to those different talent pools of whether they're salespeople, engineers, field techs. We want to target specific candidates that might be able to do the job we're looking to hire for. Once we target them and we connect with them, we want to nurture those relationships. We want to work the referral angle constantly and aggressively with both our existing employees and our pool of candidates that we've come in touch with. And as a result of doing all of those things, outstanding great people will pop out the bottom of your funnel. As I said before, if you do the things we talked about, within 3 to 4 weeks, and you start to do this for every opening you've got, you should be able to fill the vast majority of your jobs.
I had to put turnaround.
Yes, absolutely. Versus, I was on the phone just the other day with a client. They're looking to hire a sales professional, regional sales manager for a OEM subcomponent manufacturer in plastic components. This is back in the Midwest, Chicago, I want to say. They've been looking to fill the job since November. To me, that's a little bit of a long time. I mean, if you've got the job open that long, why even fill it at that point? And the frustration is high. And what happens is when the frustration is high, you have no light at the end of the tunnel. The only choice you have is to rerun your ad and get the same group of candidates again. That's where desperation hiring sets in, and people start lowering their standards, making first impressions, and, you know, it becomes the classic, can you fog a glass routine, and we'll put you in that chair. Because better somebody in that chair than nobody at all. And that's where lots of hiring mistakes and errors get made. So having a great pool of candidates to choose from alleviates that feeling of feeling desperate, of having people on your back to try to get the job filled. Dave, I know we have just a few minutes left in our call. Should we open it up for questions?
Yes, let me just wrap up for 1 minute here, then we'll open up the line. In just a minute, we're going to conclude the program, turn off the recording, open up the line so you can talk with Barry for a few minutes. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming May 16th open line program, which is entitled 360. We're going to talk about 360s and cultural assessments that can be done to understand where your people are coming from, how to get the best out of them, and what their needs are. Please sign up today. Reserve space for yourself. Let us know if you'd like staff or other colleagues to attend. Next few days, you'll receive a recording and a PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Barry and I want to thank you for your time today, for all the valuable ideas that Barry shared. If you want to contact Barry directly to talk further about this topic, because it's vast, Barry can spend time. He has specific hiring kits, books. He can do training programs to get people really honed in on this specific topic. Very helpful. You'll see Barry's contact information in the lower left-hand corner of the screen. Our mission statement at Lighthouse is to bring effective insight to your organization, such as we did today. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, just let us know. I want to thank you all for joining. Hold the line. I just want to turn the recording equipment off because we've had people say that they didn't want the Q&A time recorded, so we want to be respectful about that. So have a great day, but hold the line for just 1 second here. We'll open it up.